Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
John Kerry here, Bob Uner here as well as we head for the weekend.
Yeah. You know, when you head to the weekend, it's always all about Brewers Outlet, frankly.
Sure is. That's right. Beverage Superstore, Reagan Street in Sunbury. A terrific special now through Tuesday. Corona and Corona Light 24-pack bottles, $27.97. By the way, next weekend you've got Brewfest on Lake Augusta. You can buy your tickets for that at Brewers Outlet while you're stocking up for the tailgate tomorrow.
Well, let's say that Corona and Corona Light have made my acquaintance in the past.
Really?
They have. I love them. And, you know,
have you seen, is Corona available in New Zealand?
It is, actually. And I actually, when I'm there, I drink a beer known as Tui.
That's right. You've told me that before.
And yeah. It's a great beer, but I don't think Brewers Outlet stocks it yet.
I bet Corey can find it.
I think he can. Well, the big beverage in New Zealand, the big beer is called Steinlager, and that's the official beer of the New Zealand All Blacks, who are up in Japan as we speak, getting ready for the Rugby World Cup, which starts September 21st.
By the way, also at Brewers Outlet, wine slushies are available. That's become very, very popular lately.
Yeah.
On top of the IPAs, and of course, soda, water, pickle bar. Come on now.
Well, Steve and I have this running discussion about what's better, the dills or the garlic pickles.
Well, you're the garlic fan.
I am the garlic fan. Yep. It keeps vampires away,
among
other things.
And, of course, one of Steve's longtime broadcasting partners, Dick Girardi, fan of the Old Bay. Fan of the Old Bay, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Chesapeake Bay sweet sauce.
So get there. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, play-by-play call of the day from last night. We had primetime football in the National Football League, and a former Penn Stater hits pay dirt for Tampa Bay.
Calling the defensive play action fake sold by Winston, throws toward the end zone. It is a caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Godwin's got a touchdown catch against Carolina. Had two the last time we played these guys. And the great throw by Winston hit him right in the hands in the end zone. Bucs take the lead.
Former Penn State wide receiver Chris Godwin, 20-yard touchdown catch last night. Big win for Tampa Bay on the road at the Carolina Panthers, 20-14.
There you go. The only play game. That game was awful last night. Oh, every time you turn around. The NFL's got a problem right now. They have, except for the Saints game, where they came back and beat Houston, they had one bad game after another. Yeah, Washington-Philadelphia wasn't bad. But all the other games have been a horror show. Hey, the league can't be happy with that. We can't be happy with it. All right. We're happy, though, that we have Paul Alexander on the show. I had a chance to talk with Paul earlier this week about the rivalry with Penn State and Pitt.
Steve, very well, and yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. Looking forward to this weekend.
Absolutely.
In the city, this is obviously Pitt did. Excuse me. The Steelers did not play well Sunday night against the Patriots.
That's an understatement.
Right. Has that dominated the talk in the city this week? And has it put, at least for the moment, you know, you always get that turn to the weekend. Did it for a moment put the Penn State Pitt thing on the back, and now it's coming back into focus?
Back when I had my own show here, there was nothing more, and it was something you never rooted for, but if you wanted your phone lines to absolutely light up and dominate, it was a poor Steeler performance. Because you have to blame somebody, you have to get rid of somebody, and then toward the end of the week you have to fix it. So, yeah, that's where it starts. Whose fault? Then, all right, who goes? Who has to go? Mm-hmm. And now about this time of the week, it's, all right, there's another game this week. How are we going to fix it?
Right.
So, yeah, those are the phases. And, oh, yeah, even when the Pirates were relatively relevant, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, they get a little bit of play. A great game like Pitt State will get a little bit of play, but in this town, it's all about the Steelers, always.
In the end, has that been... Because, I mean, obviously Miami has to go through this with the Dolphins, although the Dolphins aren't playing well at all.
Oh, yeah.
But in the end, for a team that plays in a city, is that always going to be an issue for them when there's a pro franchise there?
Yeah, especially when you have multiple franchises.
Yeah.
It is so competitive, and if you would start, you know, and I used to do a Thursday night college football show and get four or five different coaches on.
Right.
And that was always like nirvana for the college football fan, but if you don't create a niche for that, you really have the risk of alienating a majority of your audience if you try to force feed anything other than the Steelers during Steelers season at the audience. So you have to be very wary of that. You can certainly have guests here and there to discuss other things other than the Steelers, but you better be ready to get right back to it when necessary.
All right, so let's do this in two parts. Let's start with Penn State. How is Penn State football at the moment with a small sample size perceived in Pittsburgh?
Well, considering we have the largest living alumni in Allegheny County of any, you know, populated area in the world, pretty well. And the thing that, you know, growing up here, this is, you know, I really think in a lot of ways a lot of Pitt fans would take a 1-11 season if that one would happen on Saturday.
Right.
Now, granted, they already have one. I mean, they got hammered pretty good in week one by Virginia. But, and it's so funny that, you know, the eruption still goes up. If a score is given at a Pitt game and it's Penn State on the losing end,
right,
that's the loudest ovation of the game. You know, a guy could go 9 yards with a kickoff return for Pitt. That'll get a, you know, a decent reaction, but not like, you know, Penn State losing in the third quarter or something like that.
Right.
So there is a great deal of interest, but it's for some very different reasons. Penn State people are excited that, you know, there's life after Saquon. You know, there's some real, albeit there hasn't been great competition to this point, I think there's now kind of a real cautious optimism that this could maybe be kind of a special year. Maybe they have the right quarterback. Maybe they have a great front seven on defense. Looks like there's some pretty serious receivers, a running back or two. So, yeah, I think the Penn State fever here in Western Pennsylvania is starting to grow a little bit. And for Pitt, this is their Super Bowl.
Right. How is Pat Narduzzi perceived in Pittsburgh? It's not as if some good things haven't happened. I mean, obviously 2016, and they also had a win at Clemson. They won the Coastal last year. But how's he perceived?
As someone who better find a way to win 8 or 9 games, the last time that Pitt had a better than a 9-win season was 1981. So, you know, Walt Harris would win you 9 games a year. You know, Wani, I think, won 10 one time and then managed to lose to Cincinnati in a game that would put him in a real nice, you know, bowl situation and a real nice opportunity to finish maybe in the top 5 in the country. But they never seem to win those games. Remember, they lost a game at Connecticut at a crucial juncture. So, you know, they haven't been able to establish, you know, anything than mediocre. And I think in year 5 now, for Pat Narduzzi, who came in, as you know, as a defensive wizard,
no doubt,
you know, from his days at Michigan State, they haven't played a lick of defense since he's been here, really. So I think there's a lot more questions right now than there are answers as far as, you know, Pat Narduzzi and Pitt.
It's now going to be slightly more than 2 seasons now of Kenny Pickett as the starting quarterback. What do you think of him?
You know, I watched the Virginia game and I didn't think much.
Right.
I mean, he was running for his life in a lot of ways, and you could tell, you know, having gone through, you know, the Cordell Stewart era, you know, with the Steelers, he had 3 coordinators in 4 years.
Right.
So, I mean, he went from, you know, I think it was that 91 season or 92, he had thrown 21 touchdowns and rushed for another 11, and, you know, they lost to Denver. He threw, you know, 2 horrible picks in that fourth quarter at Denver to lose the AFC Championship game. But, you know, he was in the conversation for NFL MVP. He was that good. But they kept changing coordinators. So I'm going to give, you know, Pickett an opportunity to learn what Mark Whipple expects of him.
Right.
We all know and respect what he can do as a coordinator. But, man, as a college kid that you have to, you know, at least pretend you're a student or whatever it is they do anymore, you have a lot to ingest. And it's thinking. And when you're out there thinking, you're not reacting and you're not making plays. So I think last week he made a huge improvement. And we know what Joe always used to say, and we still use it all the time. You know, teams, players, you make your biggest improvement from week one to week two. Kenny Pickett did that. He played very well. And OU, as we've seen now in the NFL, there's talent in the MAC. And the Bobcats were picked to finish, you know, coaches, fans, everybody, media, everybody picked them to be the best team in the MAC. So, you know, and Pitt's had some notorious losses against MAC teams. So I think that was a real step in the right direction for Kenny Pickett and Pitt. And Peyton Manning, you know, the famous Peyton Manning passing, you know, I think he, what, 11 or 12 quarterbacks get to hang out with the Manning family for a week.
Yes.
Kenny Pickett received rave reviews for his week with the Mannings. So, you know, they abandoned the run last week, I think, to allow Mark Whipple and Pickett to get on the same page and kind of establish something. So I think if they can somehow provide him with some time, you know, this week, he could be dangerous.
Right. No, and because he can move.
He can.
He can move.
He can.
The initial list of 122 nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame came out. For the first time ever, the name Troy Polamalu is going to appear on there. Paul, obviously you don't have a vote, but is this a lock first ballot Hall of Fame guy?
If it's not, it's criminal.
Yep.
Because
I agree.
You want to talk about a generational best. I mean, granted, you know, there was a guy in Baltimore that certainly maybe shared that best at a position for a 5 to 10 year period. And he was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Ed Reed.
So, Ed Reed, you know, won a championship at the University of Miami, a championship as a Raven, and he was a better ball hawk than Troy Polamalu. But he couldn't dream of blitzing, closing gaps, playing as a linebacker, revolutionizing the safety position like Troy Polamalu did. So, you know, there's always been a conspiracy theory that there's an anti-Steeler bias in Canton. And if Troy Polamalu doesn't get in, that would be criminal as a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, let me put it this way. When a quarterback, when you spend all week preparing for a game and then the quarterback walks into the line of scrimmage and on every single play, they're looking, where is 43? That tells you, and they're saying that for 10 years, you're first ballot.
Yeah. And when you make, you know, when it's a pick six, when it's a strip sack, you know, touchdown in a championship game, you know, and it's the game-changing play, when you've done that, you've won Super Bowls, and you've done everything, as well as being in the conversation for a decade as the best player at his position,
that
has first ballot written all over.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no other way that he has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer or something's wrong.
Right, exactly. In fact, I think he's an easy first ballot Hall of Famer.
Sure hope so. Plus, granted, there's no clause in the NFL Hall of Fame for character or morals or anything like that.
Right.
But what a wonderful representative of any organization that he is. I mean, he embodied everything you would like. You know, he was gentle, kind, considerate off the field. And he was an absolute warrior on the field.
Yeah.
You couldn't draw it up any better. I mean, if you're going to make an NFL safety out of clay and you had the opportunity to just computer generate, you know, the perfect safety, I mean, maybe I would have cut the hair a little bit. Other than that, I mean, he's the guy.
He at least knew.
But now he's doing all those head and shoulders commercials, so that, you know, the hair worked out pretty well.
It worked out great. The guy I'm thinking about with great Steeler lineage that I'd love to see get in, because they're talking about expanding the number for the 100th anniversary next year to 20. Well, I'd really like to see, and I think it's still a long shot, but I'd like to see Andy Russell get in.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice?
I mean,
class act.
Oh.
And I can't believe Faneca's not in there yet. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I mean, and Andy,
he was for 10 years the best guard in the NFL.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And Jack Ham will tell you. Jack will tell you on a pro level what Andy meant to him.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I just think back to those early years when Chuck Noll took over. When they asked Chuck Noll if it was hard to make those last cuts, he said, no, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
You know, the team that he inherited.
Well,
but the only guy that he thought was worthy of building around and keeping around was Andy Russell. He was the only guy that kind of the transition from pre-Chuck Noll to post-Chuck Noll was Andy Russell.
Yeah, well, Andy told me this story. He says they were sitting in the meeting room, and he comes in, and he said, I know what's wrong. And he says, boy, I just perked up right away. He says, finally, about time, somebody's going to give us answers. He said, I've looked at every single film. You guys just aren't very good. that was the end. And Andy looked at it like, okay, well, all right. And Andy's one.
Yeah.
I think there were five guys that survived, Andy said, and of course he was one of them.
And they simply needed some numbers.
Yeah.
But, you know, Chuck Noll openly said the only guy that really was worthy.
That's right.
Based on their skill set and based on their ability was Andy Russell.
Yep, absolutely. Paul is
phenomenal guy, phenomenal player.
Talk about somebody who gives back. The foundation they have is incredible.
Oh, I know.
Incredible.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Fritz Heinemann and those guys do great work with him. Paul, always a pleasure, my friend. It is always great
Steve,
to
have some fun on Saturday. I was thinking back to some of the classics. When pit people start chirping a little bit, I throw a 48-14 at them. You know, there's just been so many memorable games, and I have to admit, 1976, you know, was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
I was at Three Rivers Stadium, you know, head-to-toe in pit gear, you know, cheering pretty hard for the Panthers to win the national championship, and they did. Then all of a sudden, I matriculated in 79 to Happy Valley, and I still love Pitt in every game but one. And my Pitt fan friends know that's this week.
I saw Ron.
Not liking Pitt too much right now.
I saw Ron Hostetler last month, and in the 77 game, Ron picked off that pass in the end zone to end it in the snow.
Right.
In the snow, he said to this day, Matt Kavanaugh still won't talk to him.
No, hey, I ran into J.C. Pelosi the other day.
Oh, geez,
we were playing a little golf with him. What a great guy!
Yeah,
you know, noted Penn State hater. He says to this day, he goes, if there was something wrong with Carson Long and I could fix it, I wouldn't. Remember, he missed three field goals and an extra point in a loss to Penn State.
Yeah.
So it runs deep. It runs very deep. I came, you know, I lived through a kind of a split family. Dad was a Pitt guy. I had two sisters that were Pitt people. I had another sister, a Penn Stater, and her husband's a Penn Stater. So I hate the fact that this is probably, in my lifetime, the last one on the schedule.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart. A lot of people to blame. But just enjoy the heck out of the fact that you got this one left.
Absolutely. Paul, thanks so much. Appreciate it, as
Steve,
always.
Steve, my pleasure, my friend.
Paul Alexander, good friend, great professional. So, Bob, I want to ask you, on my Windows screensaver, it always rotates through as to a different scene.
Okay.
And today, on my screensaver here, it is Boyle River, New Zealand. Have you ever seen the Boyle River in New Zealand?
I've been on the Boyle River down in the South Island. Just a thrilling place to be, Steve. A country that, if you're a lover of nature, outdoors, and sports, it's the closest thing to heaven on the planet. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you another special place. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the Beverage Superstock Superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones' favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the Beverage Superstock Superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
A I've got good news.
Yes.
Really, really good news.
Great.
The Bucks Carolina game's over.
Thankfully.
Wow. You actually have a double. It's interesting. James Franklin and I were talking about this last night after the show for a little bit. And it's, you know, just conversation between the two of us. Steve, he says, I mean, no Thursday games in college football. I said, the NFL's really taken over to the point where there hasn't been college football the last couple of Thursday nights. And last night there wasn't any. Now, there's a doubleheader tonight. North Carolina and Wake play in 90 minutes, and then it's Washington State and Houston. So they've got a doubleheader tonight. But, boy, that Thursday game used to be a really good game in college football. Now the NFL's got Thursday night football, and these guys have 3 days off in between games, and the games stink.
Amen. They're just awful. Looking forward to North Carolina Wake Forest. Should be a good one. Mack Brown.
Good start. Maybe fool's gold, but I'll tell you, Wake Forest can play some offense, though, Bob.
Hey, come closer. Word has it Sunbury Motors is preparing for their biggest truck sale ever. Pick from Central PA's largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $16,350 during Sunbury Motors' massive September truck and SUV sale. Over 45 2019 Ford Escapes starting at just $18,180. Four-wheel drive 2019 Ford EcoSports are slashed to as low as $17,320. SMC has up to $8,000 off 2019 Ford Edges and up to a whopping $13,000 off Ford Expeditions. All clearly marked with these huge discounts. Maybe you'd better pull over and write this down. The hot, all-new 2019 Ford Ranger has discounts up to $6,500. And Sunbury Motors has 2019 Ford F-150 Crew Cabs slashed to just $32,909. That's a lot of slashing. SMC is where you want to be right now for the largest truck and SUV sale in Sunbury Motors' 104-year history. Hurry while supplies last, but don't tell anyone.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's tailgating time. Time for the big Penn State Pit tailgate. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Specials, Corona and Corona Light 24-pack bottles, $27.97. Now through Tuesday. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none, although with Buterin today, he loves the garlic.
Sure does.
You act like you noticed. And with that, Sean now brings in
the late afternoon Friday tradition in the central Susquehanna Valley, unlike any other. The pride and joy of the Northeastern Corridor of the United States of America, formerly number 78 in your Enfield High School football playbook, number one in our hearts. Give it up for Steve's brother, Kevin Jones.
Hi, how's it going? What up? So I got some hellos for you. So Steve, so Paul okay. Roy, he says hi. Steve Roy, he says hi. Mr. Roy, he says hi. Sue Roy says hi. Lynn Roy says hi. And maybe, possibly, a new listener today, that'll be 8 for me, Gary Oliveira says hi.
Wow. This is the old neighborhood, okay? Steve Roy, I believe Steve Roy, who was the state wrestling champ in Connecticut, he was the state champion. I want to say he was 145 pounds.
No,
when he won the championship,
189.
He's 189. Sorry, Steve-O.
He's about 300 now, but not. He wrestled at 189. He was state open champion.
And I believe he got inducted into the Enfield Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Last week.
And he deserves it. state
and
champ.
That's where
congratulations.
I was. That was at the Enfield Sports Hall of Fame. Yeah, I went to it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So.
He really deserves that. That is great because he won the state championship, and the Roys lived on 4 David Street. Right? Mm-hmm. Gary Oliveira lived on 5 David Street.
Yep, right next to us.
Yep. All great people. All of them great people.
Yep.
Sue, terrific. They all were terrific.
It was a fun night. So, and Gary was going to try and listen to you Wednesday. I don't know if he did, but he might be listening today. So, if he is,
cool.
It was great seeing you, Gary, and we had a nice time. And I met my wife.
Great people.
It was a good time. So.
Great, great. I'll tell you, we grew up in just a great neighborhood. Great neighborhood.
All we did was play. It was just sports around the clock. And you know what Paul said? We were talking about you, and he said, how's he doing? I said, good. He goes, man, we'd play in the backyard, and he'd be announcing the games when we were playing in the backyard. Baseball, hockey. Gary said he was a crowd, too. Remember that?
Yeah.
Precursor of things to come. It was fate.
I had a multitask.
You swear there was like 20,000 people watching us. He's been announcing this crap since he was like 7.
Well, no offense to the neighborhood. It's a little bigger audience now.
Yeah. But not as intensive. So.
You know, 60 stations in Sirius XM and the internet, it's a little bigger now.
Right. But it was still the same thing. It was the same sport, and you still announced it. So it didn't matter what it was, Sean. And Steve would go out and shovel the whole backyard and let it freeze over. And then we'd all show up and play hockey.
Yeah.
Good job.
And then
Steve.
one day, and what we do is we take our hockey sticks, right, and the top end of the stick, and we throw it into the snowbank.
And right? Then it will go through the window.
Well, one day, knucklehead here, me,
you
missed the snowbank, and I threw it right through the cellar window. Like, then, of course, I had to go in and tell my parents, and that was not exactly a great moment in life. Yet I thought they handled it beautifully because they knew it was just an accident. I literally just missed the snowbank because
of
my
snowbank was solid ice. So when they threw the stick, it slid along the ice, hit the snowbank. Then it was airborne, and it was like a spear. It went right through the window.
No, Kevin, I missed it. I just flat out went too high, and I missed it.
Airmail.
There was no deflection, nothing like that. Captain coordination missed it and went right through the cellar window. Okay, now I got to go tell Mom and Dad. And I'm not sure which one I felt worse about telling. At that point,
Dad wasn't home. It was Mom.
Saturday. It was a Saturday. He was home.
Oh, that's right.
We had
wrestling practice later that day. So.
Yeah. And I was like, this is just going to be a joy.
Anyway, remember the red ball and bat? Mike's red ball and bat? And
Mike Krikorian, he got it from Atlantic Richfield. We used to have Atlantic gas stations. In Arco.
How do
Arco?
You remember Atlantic Rich? We were like 6.
Yeah, it was. He got the red...
bought the bat and ball?
Yeah, they bought it at you know how you have Arco gas stations? Well, that's Atlantic Richfield. So they used to be called just Atlantic at the time. And it was a giveaway at the gas station, the red bat and ball. So one day we're in the backyard, and of course I'm at the plate. And my mother's hanging out laundry. And guess who hit the ball? And he hit it right off the back of Mom's head. That was me again. Thank you very much. I'm on a roll today. I'm smashing windows, and I'm hitting Mom in the head with the ball.
Well, the difference is you were like 7 when you hit her in the head with the ball, and you were like 16 when you threw the hockey stick through the window.
That's true.
So there's a wide process.
I've got a wide range of ages and problems.
Oh, you were a good boy. You weren't in trouble at all. No those are probably the two worst things you ever did when you were a kid. So,
oh.
Fine. I personally can't say the same. In fact, I don't remember some of the things that I did that I got in trouble for.
Yeah, I don't think we need to go there at all.
No, we don't need to go there.
I've got you. I always, forever have your back.
Oh, yeah. Like when I peed in the closet.
I wanted to know that, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Why not? I did it.
Yeah, but I never told mom and dad.
You had my back. You covered for me. So.
I know I did. I know. Nobody ever found out about it till now.
You guys are going to work, you and dad, and I was laying in the driveway.
Oh, well, actually, actually is the other way around. I had driven back from Pennsylvania, and I got back at 2 o'clock in the morning from Penn State, and you were laying in the driveway.
Oh, man.
And,
I don't remember that.
Well, no,
I
pulled around you.
The garage doors coming up, and the dad going the back of his truck out of the driveway, and I was laying in the driveway. So,
well, no, I picked you up that night. And I snuck you into the house so mom and dad wouldn't see you. I actually picked you up and carried you in that night.
Oh, thanks, man.
Anytime. Well, I didn't want you to get in trouble. I didn't want you to get in trouble. So I was
I
like,
had fun, so.
I know. I'm just saying, but I didn't. You know. I was just trying to be a good brother. So
it worked.
Okay.
I ended up in rehab at 22, but I probably would have got there earlier. So, yeah. Hey, I'm clean today. It makes me who I am today. But I had
fun.
So, yeah. And nobody got hurt. So,
hey, you'd have done the look. You would have done the if it had been reversed, you would have done the same for me.
Yeah, I didn't have to do anything for you. You were.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, if people don't realize, my brother is the definition of loyalty. So, he would have done the same for me.
Oh, I got in a few fights for you, but that's cool. So, anyway, let's make picks. So,
brother and brother tied at 11-4. Yours truly 8-7 after 2 weeks. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have no idea. Game.
You're seeing a year where, especially the NFL, who's good? You have no idea.
Nobody.
Look at last night. Tampa Bay beats Carolina. Nobody had Tampa Bay.
Yeah. That was a big win for
them. What's wrong with Cam Newton, you know?
That's the thing. You wonder. You wonder if something is going on with him, you know, if it's something ongoing. Not saying, you know, we're going to have another Andrew Luck situation on our hands with Cam Newton. I don't think that's going to happen. But
you're seeing these quarterbacks that take big hits. I mean, beyond Ben... You know, they just don't last very long anymore. And they're taking these big hits, and that's that. You hear Gronkowski said he had over 20 concussions?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
That's a problem for the NFL. These guys are starting to talk that their little system doesn't really work, you know.
Right.
So, but anyway, who's up?
All right, so we got our Super 7 of games this week.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to say something, Steve?
No, I'm just sitting here. I have no idea what the games are, so I'll just take out my dartboard. Let her fly.
There you go. Okay,
we'll start. You didn't get them?
No, I did not. But it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's my fault. Holy cow.
No, it doesn't matter. Let's go.
Okay.
Go. Let's go. This will be fun.
Okay. That's one way to be you.
Hey, look, I got to be at the stadium.
We won't even tell you who we picked.
I have to be at the stadium by 9:30 tomorrow morning. So.
Okay.
All right, game one in our batch of college games. We've got Iowa and Iowa State.
Okay, I'll go first. First of all, game day's at Iowa State tomorrow. It's the first time they've ever been there. So a lot like Pullman, Washington last year when they went to Washington State for the first time, from 9 o'clock to noon, this is going to be a wild, enthusiastic scene in Ames. All right. In the end, though, Iowa's the better football team across the board. Iowa will beat them.
I also have Iowa.
Yep, I got Iowa. It's a close game. I think Steve nailed
yes,
it. It's
going to
be close, but Iowa close game. Is just man for man a better team.
Yes.
But it's
going
to be a close game. So
you know, of course, I got to go. Yeah, I've got to go out there and what? What am I going out there? 4 weeks? 4 weeks I'm out there at Iowa. Not Iowa State, but Iowa.
I like that Iowa Stadium. I love what they do for those kids.
Oh, the end of the first quarter tradition.
Yeah, the first year they did it, we were there. It's like it is the coolest thing to stand there and do that for those kids. Oh my God.
I would love to see that.
And the moms, the dads.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's cool.
So we stay
here to your eye.
Yeah. Yeah. So we stay in the Big Ten, but it's Arizona State traveling to Big Ten territory. It's Arizona State at Michigan State at Sparty.
Arizona State won in the heat last year in Tempe. So far, Michigan State, to me, has not shown a lot offensively, but their defense has been terrific. I think it's a low-scoring game. Michigan State at home wins.
Yep, that's why I picked Sparty as well, because of the defense.
Okay, I agree it's going to be a close game, but I think Arizona State's going to win the game.
Okay, there you go. Right. They won last year.
Yeah, I know they did. Herm Edwards, he likes his stuff. So I'm going to go on a limb and go with Arizona State.
There you go. Good.
Right. Out west we go. Hawaii at Washington.
Okay, Hawaii can flat out score. They can throw the football. But I will say this. Part of their offense was also produced against Arizona, which can't stop the Little Sisters of the Poor. Okay? Do you realize that Arizona has not given up fewer than 41 points in like 10 games? It's unbelievable. Washington is a well-rounded team, and I like Eason at quarterback. Washington may not be a great team, but they're better than Hawaii.
Yep, I'm also taking the Huskies.
Yeah, I tossed it around. I had Hawaii, then I crossed it off, and I put Washington, and then I crossed it off again, then I crossed it off, and then I said, you got to get a life. And
you said that, we didn't.
I think Washington got a really... their loss last week was awful because of the game delay, and they had to play at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So
yes.
You can't really base anything off that. I mean, that's just kind of a crapshoot. So I'm going to take Washington. It's going to be a high-scoring game, but Washington's just better all around.
So. Just remember, though, it would have been 10 Pacific time, so they did not play at 1 in the morning their time, so... It was our
time. They had to sit around for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kevin, I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it. I had a 3-hour and 24-minute lightning delay at Michigan State 1 year, and I had to stay on for the 3 hours and 24 minutes until they came back.
What are you talking about? You know, and then these guys are banging the heck out of each other. So I mean, it's just not anything that you train for, and so
you can't
put a lot of weight on it. You know,
right? And you know what? And you can't, because I remember what Penn State did. It was like they're like an hour and 15 minutes into it, they finally sent out to Chick-fil-A for food to feed the players.
Really?
And you know, normally there's a formula as to how late you eat before a game.
Right.
Well, now you had to really blow it up. There's no real plan to do this because they didn't know when they were going to be back playing again that day. So it was a real bizarre day.
Yeah, it's you can't judge anything by it. Different kids handle it different ways, you know, and just whatever. So we all got Washington. Next game's interesting.
All right, our fourth and final college pick. We have Stanford going cross country to take on UCF.
You know what? I'm really glad you put this game on there. Like I said, I didn't know which games were here. I'm picking UCF because I don't really like the way Stanford's played this year, and Stanford's starting tackle, their best offensive lineman, is out for the year, and I think that makes a difference. I think what you'll find is UCF, athletically, is the faster team. Stanford kind of plods along a bit, and I think it's going to hurt them in a game like this. And also playing in the Eastern time zone doesn't help.
And I believe what Stanford's quarterback got knocked out, I believe.
Yeah, he did, but somebody said he might play, so I don't know.
I just based my pick on that reason, so I'm also taking UCF.
I'm just happy UCF is starting to, you know, get on a national level now, you know, where everyone said, yeah, they're great, and they're undefeated, but who'd they play, you know? Well, now they're starting to schedule, you know, some top teams, and they're get to flex their muscles a little bit. I think what I said last week's true, is they're starting to get a lot of these Florida athletes, and they're not going to Florida State and Florida and Miami anymore. They're going to these, you know, UCF and stuff. So it's that they're a really good football team, and they're very well coached. I got UCF.
Okay, on to the pros. All right, Sunday schedule, the Vikings and the Packers.
This game will be a tie. Put that down.
Yeah. like the both suck.
It's like, you look at it, and like, except for the Patriots, who's good?
Yeah, the Rams are pretty good.
I'd probably say the Saints. Yeah. You put the Saints in that category, I would think.
Yeah.
Drew Brees. You see what Drew Brees said the other day? Come on, man. I tell you, Houston looks good. That kid's a good quarterback.
Yeah, I like Watson. I do like Watson. I know Billy's told me too how much he likes him. Billy likes him a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, Minnesota and Green Bay. Where's the game?
Green Bay.
Yes, Lambeau.
Green Bay.
Yep, Green Bay. Two Green Bays, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Playing my game.
You have all weekend to do that, young man.
Oh, I got a busy weekend. You wouldn't believe. I went back and forth. You guys are taking Green Bay. I've got Green Bay. We've got to switch it up. I'll take the Vikings because I think both of them. I watched the Green Bay game. They were awful. I mean, they were, but their defense is really good. But
well, remember what I said? Remember what I said the next day, Sean? Good news and bad news is the good news, the game's over. The bad news, it was on national TV.
Well, that's what Aaron Rodgers kept telling Michelle Tafoya in the post-game interview. He kept just talking about the defense.
Yeah. No, the Green Bay's defense is great. They're
because they keep
is pitiful.
Because they keep drafting,
throw the ball to,
they keep drafting,
the ball, so
they keep drafting defense, and they don't draft offense.
Cousins, I'm going to take the Vikings.
Okay,
Vikings. Okay, all right. Home opener at Heinz Field for the Steelers. 100.9 The Valley on Sunday, 1 p.m. kick. The Steelers entertaining the Seattle Seahawks.
Even though I like Seattle a little bit more, I will still subscribe to the theory that a West Coast team playing at 10 a.m. West Coast time doesn't jive. I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Yep, me too. They got to turn this thing around.
Yeah, I got the Steelers. Although, you know, every time you say that, I think it's harder to go from the east to the west. I don't.
I've had to do it, Kev. And I've had to do it,
but you're not playing. You're announcing. It's different.
Yep. Well, no, it's different. It's not. For example, you go west, and you're playing, like, so let's take the Rose Bowl, it's 5 o'clock, all right? It's 2 o'clock there. Yeah, that's fine. Now you flip it the other way around, and you got to play at 10 a.m.
Yeah, it's 3 hours earlier, but these guys are between 20 and 30 years old. They're not like old men going out there. I mean, they're getting paid a lot of money. So, in training camp, they play all different times. You know, if you're going to play an 8 o'clock game on the West Coast, your body thinks it's 11 o'clock at night. That's hard. Oh, we got to pick one more game.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, there's a timing schedule on eating, and the timing schedule on eating means how early you have to get up. It's way earlier than people realize.
That's true.
Kevin, did you take the Steelers?
I got the Steelers.
Okay, and the back end of the Fox doubleheader on Sunday, the Saints at the Rams.
I'll pick the Saints. I'm just not big on the Rams.
I'm going to go with the Rams.
I got the Rams. And that's it.
Here's to week two.
I think there's going to be a controversial pass interference call.
Oh, wow.
How do you guys feel?
I think they'll review it.
Carbon copy. Same position on the field, but this time in the Coliseum. How about that?
Yeah.
Have a good week, guys.
Have a great weekend. Hey, to Steve Roy, congrats.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.